This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Regina George standing atop the stairs looking at her kingdom burn while wearing those bootcut jeans and a thick belt is the most early noughties thing that I can ever imagine. It's just in my soul and it's beautiful.
You're so right.
But yeah, I think it does have staying, like it's deliberately got staying power, and I think it's clearly succeeded because it's still in common parlance. And bootcut jeans should come back because they're very flattering.
Really?
Okay. Klein on that one. I'll agree with everything else you said today, apart from the bootcut jeans.
Fair.
Hello, everyone. Joining us today remotely, we have Liz.
Hello.
We have Zach.
Hi.
And as always, Kobe.
Hey.
And we're here to review Mean Girls. Thank you, as always, to the mighty people for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher. Hello, film fans. Joining FlixWatcher remotely today, we have Liz and Zach. If you could please say hello to our listeners, tell them a little bit more about who you are and your podcast, please.
Hello. My name is Zachary Fortescom. I'm here with the wonderful and inimitable Liz Campbell, and we hail from Realms of Peril and Glory, which is an actual play podcast launching on the 18th of August. It is the before then now, but I presume will be past then now, so presumably lots of wonderful episodes available for you to listen to. Actual play, meaning that we take a game system like Dungeons and Dragons and we use it to tell improv stories. And why don't you tell everyone a bit about the current season that is going on, Liz?
Yeah, so I am in the first season of Realms, which is a campaign called Vale. It's a comedy, mystery, trying to avert the apocalypse in a fantasy world of Zach's own brain child creation. I play a very stressed out city detective trying her best to solve crime.
How did you kind of come up with the concept and corral people? Are you into D&D, Zach?
Yeah, it is really boomed over lockdown. We found this a lot, not just with us. It's a lot of people are getting into role-playing games online now because it is so much easier to access a lot of the information around these games online. And because there's been this huge boom in streams and shows like Dimension 20, Critical Role, people are really getting into the hobby. And I just loved the storytelling potential. You know, I would sit down with friends, tell these stories, and I thought there was a space in the podcasting market to tell really tight thrilling actual play stories, because you never know which way these things are going to go. Everyone sits down pretty much equally not knowing what direction they're going to run. You know, I come prepped with a bunch of notes, and if we get through half of them, I'm a happy boy.
And you're essentially the dungeon master in this.
Yeah,
this,
so in the game, I'm the game master for our first campaign. I run the game, and we have a host of different guest game masters as well. Come on, James Barbarossa, who, if you listen to The Orphans, you'll recognize his voice. We also have Ella Watts as one of our guest GMs, and of course Maddie Searle, who you'll know from various Rusty Quill projects as well as Prickwillow Papers. Really, really good time.
Yeah, well, guys, looking forward to it. As I say, it's the 4th of August, so we wouldn't have heard it beforehand, but we know a lot of the names behind it, so looking forward to it coming out. But today we're talking about films specifically, and today the film is Mean Girls, which is your choice, Liz. Can you tell us, first of all, why you chose it, and I'll prepare the countdown timer.
So why I chose Mean Girls? First of all, I was staggered that no one else had chosen Mean Girls.
I know.
Finally, someone's picked it. We ought to have like a bell for these windows.
Well, there's three reasons I picked it. I think the first is that I just think it's a good film. I think it's well made, it's funny, it's real, and I think it stands the test of time. And the second reason is because it has been so iconic that it's so quotable. It's so gone into pop culture. It really, I think, has a significant place in, you know, teen movies going forward. And the third one is more off the wall, but I think it's such a good political story told through the medium of teenage girls' meanness. And it's great. I'm really excited to talk about it.
Okay, so timer starts now.
Right, okay, so the plot is Katie Heron is a student played by Lindsay Lohan who grew up in Africa with her zoologist parents and never attended a normal school. At the age of 16, she goes to a normal American school where she befriends the weird artsy kids who inform her of the social order of the school. At the top are the Plastics, the queen bee being Regina George, played by Canadian Rachel McAdams. Shout out to our people, Zach.
Hey.
The weird kids convince Katie that she should infiltrate the Plastics and take them down from the inside. In the process, she loses herself to the seduction of power and status, only to be reminded at the collapse of society why we should probably all be nice to each other, and someone gets hit by a bus.
Well, Rachel McAdams gets hit by a bus. Spoiler.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach, if you haven't seen Mean Girls at this point.
I mean, what are you doing with your life?
Where are you, Zach, with Mean Girls?
Oh, I love it. I think it's a wonderful film. I've loved Mean Girls since the first time I saw it. I didn't see it when it first came out, just missed it, but have since caught up on, you know, Netflix and things like that. It's totally hilarious. I love Tina Fey, so I loved it. I do think, having watched it this time around, some aspects of it have aged like milk. I do think, though, most aspects of it have, in fact, aged like wine. And if you can get past those curdly bits of milk, it's
wonderful. Do you want to tell us some of the milky aspects?
Yeah, I think, and this is a thing Tina Fey does a lot, is I do think some of the racial humor is just left of what we'd consider appropriate nowadays. And I think it's because we were in that weird, and also some of the sexuality stuff as well with what's her name, Janice, how she ends up with a guy at the end, despite the whole thing being about it being okay that she's gay.
I always thought that was used as a slight against her. I didn't know whether she was
well,
gay or not.
It was being used as a slight against her, but the whole thing was her, like, it felt for me, especially coming, you know, it felt for me that she, the whole thing was like, yes, it's fine to be a lesbian. They were signaling her as being a lesbian the whole time. Like, it was very much coded into that character. And I think the fact that she doesn't end up, the fact that she doesn't only end, she could have ended the film without that. It is so last minute for no reason in there that she gets with, what is his name? Kevin?
Kevin Nippur.
Kevin
Nippur. The G is silent when I sneak in your door. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think she could have ended the film without that and it would have been totally acceptable, but they decided to plug that in at the end, and I just don't think it's very good.
Liz is gesturing. What
I have things I don't want to. You guys need to speak first.
Go. We speak all the time in every episode.
So I mean, I understand what you're saying, Zach, and I don't totally disagree. I do think that the point of Janice, one of the points of Janice, is that she is presented to be kind of the mirror image of Regina, in that she is somebody who used to be Regina George's best friend, who got screwed over by her, who has returned as kind of the anti-Regina. She is the same in many ways. You know, she has the speech about them both being mean girls, and they are quite evidently in the film both manipulative, selfish people to a large extent. But I think the point is that the way that she is presented throughout is not meant to be what she necessarily likes. It's she has adopted a persona that is the antithesis to the pink plastic of Regina. Mm. And I think you can interpret kind of that ending as her realizing it's actually maybe okay to, I don't know, have a boyfriend and giggle and kiss on the lawn or whatever. And, you know, you see even at the end, her image has softened and stuff. Again, you know, there is also a moral to do what you want.
They all nod to each other, don't they?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like, I just think it's potentially a different message that's coming from her, that actually you don't have to be either plastic or the angry, you know, goth rebel. You can probably find something in between that makes you happy.
For sure. And I do agree with you. I just think that there could have been another way of expressing that without taking that strong representation angle away from it.
There is a weird kind of no homo element to it that is also strange, because her best friend is Damien, who they always keep making gay jokes about.
Yeah.
So there is a weirdness that I'm not.
But the thing, like, is they fully kiss and go, ew, like as a gag. And then moments later, she's making out with another guy, you know, like it just, I don't know. For me, I totally get where you're coming from with that angle. And I do like that that is something for Janice, but I just don't think that it felt like you were taking something away from her.
I think sometimes when you have a plot point that's crowbarred in the last 5 minutes that's come out of nowhere, it is jarring. And you are like, well, where was that at the setup in the first act? It was nothing. There's nothing there. It wasn't even a glance. So I can see why. And it's those kind of small hills sometimes you fall on in stories. And for me in this, it's when Katie's comes, she spent 16 years in Africa. I'm like, where's Africa? Which,
you know, Africa, Kobe.
Where?
That specific place of Africa.
Where have you been? She speaks Swahili.
She refers to it as Africans, Africa as well.
It's like, you know which city, you know which country, just give us a country, just give us a thing. And every time they just say Africa, I'm like, come on. That's my small hill I die on every time that happens. And it's the same. For someone says, I spent 6 months in South America. Tell us where. It is a huge area. It doesn't really tell us anything about where you've been.
Maybe they were traveling around. You know, they're zoologists. You literally follow, like, the giraffes around.
Oh, so I'm traveling through America. Oh,
I think that's
where?
A thing you say. I think that's a thing. it's weird.
But I mean, yeah, traveling around, you say, I've been to Kenya, I went to Ethiopia, I was in South Africa for... Fine, I know where you've been. Sorry, Helen. Small hill or not?
I mean, I think it's fair to say that there is a lot of fun, entertaining things here that have stood the test of time and made many a meme. And then there are a few things that, probably because there's been a considerable amount of time between, and also that we've probably seen it so many times that these things stick out a little bit more, because we're like, hey, I didn't really notice that before. I noticed the fun bits, but now I'm noticing the bits that are a bit iffy. I mean, there's a lot of jokes that rely on sex with teachers and young people, which is going to be my kind of bugbear, which was yuck then, is yuck now, and it's was more than one kind of punchline. And again, the grouping Asians by type and then them being part of the underage punchline is a bit, I find that it's a bit problematic.
I liked at least that they were Vietnamese and it said they're Vietnamese and they spoke in Vietnamese.
No, Asia, just... Kobe, general Asia.
Yeah, no, they were Asian.
Yeah, I mean, the geography in this is, you know, it's kind of sketchy. Likewise. But yeah, I mean, I like Tina Fey. I think she's great in this. The script is zingy. Watching it again this time round, like, Rachel McAdams is just brilliant. Like,
some great performances.
She's one of the few actresses that can make bad films watchable. And there's not that many people that can do that. And in this, she's just way above everyone else in her acting. And it's in her face, it's in her eyes. Like, her eyes are that kind of psychotic. She brings everything to it. And Lindsay Lohan's just kind of like, just not even in her league. And it's her acting that's a little bit distracting, and that she's like, yeah, it's kind of all right, but I could see her being replaced by someone else. It's like, but Rachel McAdams is so unbelievably mean in this, and she's great. So that was what I really enjoyed this time around, was just enjoying every bit that she was on the screen and the zinginess of the script.
I really like, I mean, Tina Fey is one of my all-time greatest, any TV show she's involved in, I'm watching it, whether she's front and center of it or not. So Kimmy Schmidt, 30 Rock, all divine to me. But I mean, looking at the cast there, Lizzie Kaplan, probably first time I saw her. She's great in anything she does now. You go down the list. Well, you don't go down the list. You're starting at the top, and Lindsay Lohan's the one that's kind of mainly fallen by the wayside. And that's perhaps, you know, growing up as a child actor, literally throwing you by the wayside, which is a bit of a shame, because this is the kind of film that can put you into the stratosphere if people see it. So it's a bit of a shame, because she did the role that she was supposed to play in this role. She's the kind of interesting foil that people play the games. She's the one that people... She's the tennis ball between Lizzie Kaplan's Janice and Rachel McAdams' character. She's just the one that's kind of telling the story from both sides, and it's the least kind of interesting part. So I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
she's not as good as the others.
I think she's... It's not necessarily easy to play somebody who's woefully naive 1 minute, then turns into a bit of a bitch, and still remains largely sympathetic throughout. Like, I agree she's not, you know, the surrounding characters are more interesting, but I think she does a solid job, and it's a shame that her career kind of ended.
I do agree. She does do a solid job, but I do understand what they're saying about the... Because that is, if played by like an actress at that peak level, like Rachel McAdams, could be that like Shakespearean role almost, of taking someone from like super innocence to like that mad villainy of like, and to really dig into that. It could be more than what it is. But what it is serviceable.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, you know, in their defense, there's a considerable age gap between them as well. So, you know, Rachel McAdams was, what, 25 in this? So
everyone was just ludicrously too old to be in high school.
Yeah.
I think the biggest person wasted for me was Neil Flynn as Katie's dad. Yeah. Because he's like a legit, like, superb improviser. And like half of his lines in Scrubs were improvised by him on the spot, and they're all to a T hilarious, and he's just Katie's dad, and you know, he's fine, but I'm just like, I want to see him in more stuff. And I thought with him and Tina Fey, I'd forgotten he was even in it until it came on back on the screen again. I just thought, oh no, it's not that interesting role for you, Neil. It
definitely could have had a bit more of the at-home life to kind of give Katie a bit more of a character and a bit more of a base, and maybe kind of flesh out the background a little bit, because I think one of the things that I enjoyed in Booksmart was the fact that you kind of got to see the parents a little bit more, and it kind of,
you, and the parents had a personality.
Yeah. And it just kind of, like you say, a bit of a wasted opportunity perhaps, considering it was Neil Flynn.
Well, I quite liked Amy Poehler in this, actually. I thought she was fun as...
Amazing. It's
always great.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, I think Katie's character is deliberately a blank slate. Like, I think even, I mean, you know, yeah, I'm on board with Africa as a weird choice, but like, in many ways, the fact that she has no specific background, no specific, like, you know, she's never had a friend. We don't know anything really about her parents.
She's good at maths.
Right. Yeah, she's good at maths. Literally, she is good at maths and quite naive, and therefore is ripe to become the pawn in the political machinations of all the girls at this school. And I think that's, you know, that's the point. If she had too much agency, we wouldn't get to feel the effects of their power plays upon her.
Mm, that's a good point.
And yeah, it's, you know, glorious. I'm going to launch on the rant here, but I think this is such an interesting movie because it was based off of a nonfiction parenting book that Tina Fey agreed to adapt without really realizing it was a nonfiction parenting book. Yep. She, from it, came out with not just a funny and, you know, tight script, like a, you know, a solid movie, but something that I think is pretty real, you know, as someone who one point was a teenage girl. I think it's pretty on the nose at that. And it's also just like, as a genre, you don't get a lot of teen movies like this. It's not really a romantic comedy. It's not one of the whole like, oh, we gotta lose our virginity before prom, which was 98% of the teen movies of the time. It is basically a political drama about overthrowing a dictator. And it's...
We should totally just stab Caesar.
We should totally just stab Caesar. That's such a good scene.
It's great. It is great. I feel like she doesn't get enough credit, that actress. And the fact that I am not saying her name because I don't know it goes to show that she doesn't.
Yeah.
But she's so excellent. The what? God, what is that character?
Gretchen Wieners. Yeah, I don't know.
Gretchen Wieners is, she is so good, as is Amanda Seyfried as the other one.
The really dumb one.
Yeah, the really dumb one. They both play such wonderful, like, lieutenants.
Oh my God. So good.
It's excellent. It's excellent.
The scene in the cafeteria, the you can't sit with us, you know, the final breaking point where Regina has, you know, yes, they've made her fat, and yes, body shaming doesn't, you know, not great kind of on reflection. But I think, again, the genius of the scene is not that they're just like, oh, she's fat, so everyone hates her now. It's that is the thing that has pushed Regina to expose the hypocrisy and arbitrariness of her random rules. All this on Wednesdays we wear pink and we can only put our ponytails up once a week. Like, she can't conform anymore. And the, like, brilliant cracking of just Karen and Gretchen Wieners of saying, you can't sit with us, is just mwah, mwah. Yeah. That's the stabbing of Caesar. Oh, it's so good.
There's
a lot of
great
chef kissing going on today.
I love this movie. I will make out with this movie anytime.
I didn't know who Tina Fey was when I first saw this film. Otherwise, I would have not avoided it like The Plague when it first came out, because I had it had almost been reduced as, oh, it's a, like you say, it's a romance, or it's a chick flick based in a high school. And like you said, there's so many layers to it. That, and I remember telling a friend about it, oh, I watched this film, Mean Girls, and he was like, that's a girls film, isn't it? I was like, I thought so, but it's not. So you should watch it. So I love like telling people, yeah, watch it. It's good fun, but it has got heart to it. It's got story. It's got bite to it, more than heart. It's got really, really good kind of bite to it, political satire bite. And I like what you're saying, Liz, about it being a political drama set in a high school, essentially, with a kid from Africa, which is somewhere
generic
in the world.
Generic Africa.
Helen, do you want to say anything before I head to the scores?
I was going to ask you, what's your favourite Mean Girls meme, seeing as it has spawned, according to BuzzFeed, 93 memes.
Wow,
it's the
really?
Film that keeps on giving. any standout ones for you?
None for Gretchen Wieners. Bye.
Yes. I like... No. Last time I was here, we spoke about Life of Brian, which is, to my memory, a film you both enjoyed deeply. And we spoke about, you know, the what have the Romans ever done for us as a kind of go-to catchphrase of, yeah, complaints and lack of dogmatism in political discourse. I really like that on Wednesdays we wear pink as a similar kind of thing, this kind of arbitrary following of the, you know, whatever we are told to do in power. I think that is kind of, you know, these rules that are clearly objectively ridiculous that everyone just cannot question, because then, you know, we cannot question greater power. I think on Wednesdays We Wear Pink, I've seen that used and it's good.
I've seen, to be honest, I don't think I've seen or tacked onto many Mean Girls memes, to be honest with you, so I might have to abstain from this question.
You go, Glen Coco.
The one that is doing the rounds quite a bit at the moment is the so you agree one, which is can be used to insert your whatever message. And then you just can't beat get in, loser, insert wherever you want to be. Which, you know, yeah. Get in, loser has been a many a time uttered for getting in cars, getting on anywhere. Get in, loser.
The words boo you whore. I mean, yeah. How three beautiful little words that somehow just...
And the thing is, these memes in many ways exist beyond Mean Girls now. When like boo you whore and you go Glen Coco, people say them and they don't even realize half the time that they're referencing Mean Girls necessarily. Like they just have entered this like stage of being so iconic as to having like almost clouded the source material. Shut up, Siri. Almost having clouded the source material that it came from. It's really fascinating.
Fun fact, when Tina Fey was writing it, she deliberately didn't use like slang of the time to try and prevent it from dating too badly. And
sadly,
yeah,
the clothes have done that.
The image of Regina George standing atop the stairs looking at her kingdom burn while wearing those bootcut jeans and a thick belt is the most early noughties thing that I can ever imagine. It's just in my soul and it's beautiful.
You're so right. You're so right.
But yeah, I think it does have staying, like it's deliberately got staying power, and I think it's clearly succeeded because it's still in common parlance. And bootcut jeans should come back because they're very flattering.
Really? Okay.
Klein on that one. I'll agree with everything else you said today, apart from the bootcut jeans.
Fair.
Well, should we head to the scores?
Yeah.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have included fellow Stripped Media family members Martin and Sam from Song by Song, and Kobe from Flixwatcher, and Dave from The Wire Stripped. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to the Flixwatcher scores. All of our scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places if you wish, or if you're Kobe, and we will start with you, please, Liz, with your recommendability.
5. Watch the film. It's great.
Zach.
Yeah, likewise, I agree. 5. To be honest, you know, I think I said early on that some bits of this film I think haven't aged super well. Honestly, it does not matter. The bits of this film that are great are phenomenal and outshine anything that is slightly dated in that way. So I every time if someone said, oh, should I watch Mean Girls? Yes. Absolutely.
Helen.
Yeah, I mean, this is top tier teen film in that it kind of even slightly transcends teen film in that the goal isn't to get a guy at the end of it, which is what most teen films end up being. So yeah,
even Clueless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I checked back to see, so I was fairly ranking and rating my teen films. I gave Clueless a 5, so it's only fair that I should also give this a 5.
Yeah.
Research. Cracky. I'm going to go for 4.5. Not quite 5 for me, but it's up there. It's up there. I think some parts might just be a bit irritating for people, and I think straight white men, gammon on the internet might find it hard pill to swallow at first glance. And, you know, I can't be bothered to try and persuade them otherwise. So, yeah, 4.5. Repeat viewing score, Liz.
I'd still say very high. I promise I'm not just trying to swing the scores, but I do. I have seen it many times. I will see it many times. I will happily, like, put it on in spare time. It's good. 4.5.
Zach?
I'm not holding back. It's straight up 5. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Mean Girls is maybe the most rewatchable film aside from like maybe Jurassic Park. Like,
there's quote-alongs at the Prince Charles Cinema.
Precisely. Like I could watch this film on a loop, you know? So just, yeah, 5. Absolutely 5. I'm not holding back.
Helen?
I'm not as into Mean Girls as you guys are. I think it's 3.5 for me. I've seen it a few times now, maybe like 3 or 4. I'm probably not in a rush to go back to it again anytime soon. But yeah, this time rewatching it was good fun, but I'm maybe I've kind of like topped up my Mean Girls for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 3. I think this is my second time watching it, and that's really, you know, I should have watched it more in that time. And as long as it's on something like Netflix, I think I will. It'll be an easy sell, you know, on a Saturday night when you just want to watch something that's a bit slightly edgy, but also, you know, easy to watch. So, yeah, 3 sounds good. Small screen score, Liz.
4, maybe. I can't think of any reason why I'd need it bigger. But I would, now that I've remembered it exists, I would like to go to the Prince Charles and do a quote along. So that is one time where, you know what, I might actually go to the cinema to see this. So I'll go for a 4.
Zach?
That's interesting that you say that. You've kind of talked me round to giving this a slightly lower score. Because I agree with you. I see no reason for this film to be bigger. But actually, I think a communal experience might add an extra layer to this film. So I will follow suit with you and give it a 4.
Helen?
I don't think a Mean Girls quote along would be something that I'd want to get into. I don't know why.
I don't want to get into that. It's a slippery slope.
I could see why people would want to go to that, and I'm sure it would be an absolute riot. But for me, I didn't see this at the cinema, or at least I don't remember seeing it at the cinema. No, I can't remember. I think it's great for home viewing on your own or with some friends or with someone who's never seen it before, kind of fun. So I'm going to go 5. But yeah, if you've never seen it before, then I recommend you go and see it at a quote along because it will be wild.
I think I want to go and see it at Prince Charles Cinema.
Shall we go? Shall we organise a little trip?
Let's organise a little trip. And I think, obviously, like I said, the memes kind of passed over me, but I think this is where a film can be elevated. And remember seeing like Gremlins for the first time with an audience and Die Hard with an audience, Pitch Perfect with a sing-along at Prince Charles. It was just brilliant. I'd take a gamble with this. I'd take a gamble to go to quite long with this because I think, like, if there's 93 memes and I can't remember one of them, then there's something I'm missing. And I think I'd only get more out of it by going to a quote along. So 4, engagement score, Liz.
I mean, 5. I really think this is a great movie. I know.
You don't need to feel guilty. That's your score.
I just feel like I'm disregarding the nuances of your rating system. But like, yeah, I think it's really interesting.
They've
got to
stay consistent. They're on here for hundreds of episodes. Mm. We're here for one and done. We can do whatever we want.
Burn the system down. Yeah. Break that prom queen tiara.
Zach, engagement score.
Yeah. I'm actually going to differ from you on this, Liz. I think this film is one that you can walk away from and have a fairly similar experience or be half paying attention to in many cases and still get quite a lot out of it. Maybe not 100%, but a good 85 to 90%. So I think I will give it a 3 on engagement.
Helen?
I'm going to give it a solid 4. I think it's 97 minutes. It's a good runtime. Doesn't overstay its welcome, and there's enough kind of happening to keep you engaged. But it's not like it's not going to break your brain if you check to see what the name of the actress is who plays Gretchen, because you can't remember, or you want to find out where she is now. It's not gonna like have flipped, and you won't be able to get back into it. A solid 4.
Yeah, let's go for 4. Why not? It sounds. I think to get the biting satire from it, then you need to be somewhat engaged. But also, it's an easy watch. That gives us an overall score of 4.28125, which is high, which is decent.
Yeah,
well, it's kind of what I expected before getting there. Should we head to Twitter, guys?
Yeah.
So everyone, do follow us on Twitter. If this is your first time listening to FlixWatcher Podcast, we are at FlixWatcherPod. And do follow us because we put out a little tweet asking for your opinions before we go into the recording. We've had one before this episode, and they always go something like, we review Mean Girls with Zach FG and Liz X Campbell from Realms Pod. That's their podcast, by the way. It's at Realms Pod. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and a score out of 5 stars for an on-air shout-out on FlixWatcher. We had one response today. Liz, do you want to read it out?
It says, considering it's essentially just Heather's Light, this is much, much better than it ever deserved to be, thanks to a star-making performance from Lindsay Lohan and a witty script from Tina Fey that has enough bite to set this apart from standard teen movie fare. 4 stars.
Is it Heather's Light? I need to read what's Heather's.
I don't think it is. I don't agree with that.
Liam.
Yeah,
exactly. I agree with the 4 stars, but yeah, I'd need to revisit Heather's. My brain seems to think that they're a bit different. But 4 stars, I'm down with them.
Yeah. I think there's a lot in Heather's about kind of this, you know, social status and hierarchy in high school. The solution is a kind of dark comedy fantasy about murdering people as opposed to a succinct,
making someone a bit fat.
Accurate, yeah, dismantling of a dictatorship.
Not every film with girls set in a high school is Heather's and or Mean Girls. They can be different things.
Both be good.
Yes.
And both be good. And thank you very much, guys, Zach and Liz. Do tell us where we can find Realms Pod online, when it's available, where it's available if you want to listen to it, and say goodbye to everyone who is listening.
Yeah, so you can go to whatever podcast app you like and search for Realms of Peril and Glory. It's a brand new actual play podcast, actual play meaning we grab a game system, kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, and we tell really fun, funny stories using that game system. Liz is a part of our current campaign called Vale, where she plays very bemused police officer on the case. Can you tell us a bit about your wonderful Zongroff?
I mean, if you were a police officer in a city where magic was real, yikes, man. No, it's a wonderful, Zach set up a wonderful high stakes mystery in this beautiful fantasy world. If you like laughs, there's laughs. If you like a little bit of drama, there's drama. Something for everyone. Do check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, guys. As Liz said earlier, you have been on before for Life of Brian and for Cabin in the Woods. So if you like their voices, first of all, go to Realms Podcast. Also, you can just dig a bit further down into our previous episodes and listen to some more of them.
If you'd like to see two people fundamentally disagree about two films, a better place cannot be found than those two episodes.
Oh, man.
I'm glad that you're still friends afterwards.
No, of course.
Cheers, thank you, guys, for having us. It's been great.
Thanks so much for coming on. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell him FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.